Praise you, God. Lord, we know it was your mercy, your grace, God, that reached down and you chose us, God. We didn't choose you, but you had mercy upon us, and we thank you so much for that. Lord, you looked on us with favor. We were nothing, but you saw us, and you had compassion on us, and we thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right, thank you for leading us in the song, sisters. All right, we want to go back to Psalm 3 and 4, where Pastor had left off, and kind of go through some of these verses here. So I thought it'd be good to read Psalm 3 and Psalm 4. There's about 8 verses in each, so it shouldn't be too many. We have this in the NET, and sometimes it's good to, again, read in a different translation. Sometimes you pick up a little extra there. Okay. Right. Lord, how numerous are my enemies. Many attack me. Many say about me, God will not deliver him. Selah. But you, Lord, are a shield that protects me. You are my glory and the one who restores me. To the Lord I cried out, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. I rested and slept. I awoke, for the Lord protects me. I am not afraid of the multitude of people who attack me from all directions. Rise up, Lord. Deliver me, my God. Yes, you will strike all my enemies on the jaw. You will break the teeth of the wicked. The Lord delivers. You show favor to your people. Selah. And then Psalm 4. It says, for the music director to be accompanied by stringed instruments, a psalm of David. When I call out, answer me, O God, who vindicates me. Though I am hemmed in, you will lead me into a wide open place. Have mercy on me and respond to my prayer. You men, how long will you try to turn my honor into shame? How long will you love what is worthless and search for what is deceptive? Selah. Realize that the Lord shows the godly special favor. The Lord responds when I cry out to him. Tremble with fear and do not sin. Meditate as you lie in bed and repent of your ways. Selah. Offer the prescribed sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many say, who can show us anything good? Smile upon us, Lord. You make me happier than those who have abundant grain and wine. I will lie down and sleep peacefully, for you, Lord, make me safe and secure. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Please help us tonight to hear your voice. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so going back to a point earlier, there's a question on when this was written. Was this written at the time of the rebellion? And we see here, if you'll look at Psalm 3:1, there in the NET, the intro, which I had skipped over, it says, it's not up here, but the introduction to this, a psalm of David written when he fled from his son Absalom. So we look at this, and my feeling is I'm leaning heavily toward this was written right at the time of when this happened. As we look at it, we see that the verb tenses point to it being written the next morning. So he fled, went out through the, and once he got out, he had slept through the night, and then that morning he wrote this. And we see that in the tenses of the verbs. The verbs are not past tense. Like he's looking back and reflecting on it in verse 1. Lord, how numerous are my enemies? Many attack me. So this is happening right now. Verse 2, many say about me, God will not deliver him. So it's not past tense. Many said about me, or my enemies were numerous. It's he's saying it as it's happening right now. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Again, not past tense. I wasn't afraid. He says, I will not be. Verse 7 also, and then 8. 7. Rise up, Lord, deliver me, my God. Yes, you will strike all my enemies on the jaw. You will break the teeth of the wicked. In verse 8, the Lord delivers, you show favor to your people. Salah. So this is, for me, this is a strong feeling. Yeah, this was written right at the time that he fled. There's something, you probably have heard of it, called Occam's Razor. And it's generally when you have two hypotheses or two theories, you go with the one that makes the fewest assumptions. So if we do that here, the intro says, a Psalm of David written when he fled from his son Absalom. So if you believe this was written later, then you have to assume, well, this doesn't really exactly mean what it says here at the beginning. You assume that. And then the verbs are present tense or future tense. And well, you kind of have to make an assumption. Well, this, okay, he's writing as if he was in that time. So you're making two assumptions there to say that it was written later. So the Occam's Razor said, well, you take a razor and you slice off all the assumptions that are not necessary and go with the simplest solution. And 95-99% of the time, that is going to be the correct solution. Maybe it's not as glamorous, but that is very likely what is right. Somebody summarized that and said, when you hear hoofbeats, think of horses, not zebras. So go for what's the simplest explanation for me hearing hoofbeats? Well, it's not going to be unicorns, very likely. Or it's not going to be zebras, very likely. But yes?
Well, I was just thinking when you were saying that David being artistic and musical, he would be very emotional and expressing his emotions, and that's one of the ways that is a bit of a stress reliever, too, to go ahead and express yourself. So it would seem logical that he would go ahead and write down his thoughts and his feelings at that moment because it helped him to feel a little better.
Right. And for creative people, you know, musically or artistically, they experience, it seems like, very high emotions and very low emotions, and it can be quite a roller coaster. So they can ride it at that point of deep despair or at the point of high emotion, or they can do their artwork at that time. So, yeah, that goes along with what you're saying there. For me, you know, that points, yes, this was written right at that time. Now, I want to jump ahead and then come back a little bit. So going to verse 6, he says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. We have a picture here of a large encircling, so it's starting to be a large encircling around him of his enemies. We see that they're starting to surround him, but let's jump back to verse 3. In KJV, it says, but thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. As a warrior, David, he could fully appreciate the saving power of a shield, you know, this essential in battle. But as we look in here, this is more than just a shield. When we think of a shield on our arm, it's in one direction. But this could be said that thou art a shield about me. So you have a big circle of enemies around him, but inside there's a smaller circle around David of God's shield around him. I think that's pretty neat. Surrounded by enemies, but the Lord is the shield there. And we saw that in Genesis 15:1, where the Lord spoke to Abraham. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I said Abraham earlier. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Then speaking to Israel in Deuteronomy 33:29, blessed are you, Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help. So saying the Lord is the shield of your help. And he who is the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will trample on their high places. And then David again in Psalm 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. It's cool to have that knowledge that the Lord is there shielding us. And as he did for David, he can do for us. Now, the other part of this verse, verse 3, Psalm 3:3, said, you're my glory and the lifter up of mine head. So when I look at the lifter up of mine head, we see the picture of David when he left Jerusalem. The Bible specifically said he went away weeping. He went away weeping, but he, with the idea, coming back restored. So, and we see a parallel to this phrase, the lifter up of mine head. Got the Independence Day number two here. In Genesis 40 and 12 and 13, it talks about the cupbearer who had lost favor with Pharaoh, and he ended up in the same prison with Joseph. And he had a dream and came to Joseph, and then starting in verse 12, and then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches in your dream are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. We see a parallel there of the lifting up from his former countenance of weeping and mourning and being lifted up and restored into to office. This is a general truth in spite of, as we see in verse 2, as the NLT puts it, so many are saying God will never rescue him. As he went along, you know, he was mocked by, I think, Shimei was the man's name, and he probably heard whispers maybe as he's going, I don't think God will rescue him. So this he could hear this, but he was still confident that just as God raised him up from this low estate before to royalty and helped him in past troubles, even now he could save him and bring him back to the throne. When he left, the priest Zadok and the other priest started to take the ark with them out to go along with David, the king. He'd take the ark with him. But the king said to them in 2 Samuel 15:25, then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. So he had that confidence. And in my Bible reading, I'm reading in Job right now, and you know, Job was devastated. He was completely wiped out financially, health, family, everything. But we see at the end that God restored him, and these are lessons to me. Things may take a turn down, but don't give up. Don't lose my trust in God. If things will eventually get better. I thank the Lord for these examples. Verses 4 and 5 of chapter 3, here David says, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. So here, the I is emphatic. So I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. He was pursued by enemies, and His friends had even forsaken him, but he laid down and slept in the midst of this. He didn't stay up all night worrying and being in anxiety about it. I think it is also pointing back to verse 4 as these, I think these go together. The idea that I see is once David got out of the city and to the place that they were going to stay, he prayed to the Lord and he prayed aloud. And he heard God speaking to him. And that was his confidence then that he could say in verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me. The calmness in the face of danger was practical proof of his faith. When I have to confess my weakness, I'm very much the opposite. When things start going bad, I start panicking and stressing and sweating. But this is a lesson to me. Have faith in the Lord, and I can stay calm, knowing God is in control. Here, the word sustained is in the verse, and this could also be sustaineth. The tense suggests an unceasing, ever-active care by which he's upheld. So it keeps on going. God keeps on sustaining us. Psalm 55 and 2, it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Brother Sparks preached a message on God sustaining, and he made some points that have stuck with me since then. He said, why was there a specific order in creation? Why did he create the day and the night, and then the waters above from the waters beneath, and the land? Why did he do that in order? Well, we see that God's order is perfect. Everything that was made to sustain what came after it. So if he would have made the animals first without plants, you know, how could they eat? You know, if he made humans without air to breathe and the food to eat, you know, how could a human survive? So his order was perfect there. Every time that we take a breath of air or take a drink of water, we can think, this is God sustaining me. You know, God has put here the big thing you hear from all around everybody's word about sustainability. Well, God's sustainability is perfect. It's been going on since the beginning of creation. So I don't have to be anxious. God is still sustaining me. And we see that David slept in this time, and it was perfect trust to be able to sleep when he had many enemies and they were ready to destroy him. And we see that Jesus slept, and also Peter. In Mark 4:38, there was a storm. It says, but he was in the stern, in the ship, in the middle of the storm, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? But he was perfectly asleep. He wasn't worried. And then Peter, in Acts 12:6, on that very night, before Herod was going to bring him out for trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Peter wasn't worried. I'm trusting God. I'm going to lay back and sleep. God is going to care for me. The NLT has this verse, Psalm 3:3. It says, I lay down and slept, yet I woke in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. So we can think of a sentry or somebody who's standing guard over us. And praise God for that. In verse 7, Psalm 3:7, it said, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. In ESV, it says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Here, KJV has it past, thou hast smitten, but it can be also, thou wilt smite. It is going to happen. And David speaks in full confidence of God's intervention, his interference. And he speaks as this victory, he knows that he has it already. NLT says, arise, O Lord, rescue me, O my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. And in Numbers 10:35, Moses has these same words. And whenever the ark set out, Moses said, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate you flee before you. So he pronounced this every time that they went to set out again. And Lord, go before us. You're the commander of heaven's armies. The second part of Psalm 3:7, it says, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And I think Pastor had made this point that by breaking the teeth, he deprived the enemy of the power to injure. So if, I want to say grandma, but if an animal tries to bite you with the teeth, you know, it's just going to be gumming and it's not going to do much damage. But there's no power to injure. And we see that in Psalm 58:6. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O God, so they may roar, but there's no power to hurt. And this made me think of the verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 56, where I think there was another power to injure that the Lord took away from us. And you have heard this scripture many times. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. God, by making the sacrifice of Jesus, he took away that sting of death. He took away the sting of sin. He took away that power to hold us accountable, to hold that penalty against us. I think that's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for that. I have one more to look at here, Psalm 4:1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. There's a phrase in here in KJV. It says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. In the ESV, it says, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Enlarge, I think this is sort of an older English meaning here, meaning to set at large or to set free. We think of the criminal was set at large, or you know, after he served his sentence, he was set at large. And this enlarging means you're set free. David, many times he was trapped, or he was in a strait. He was in a narrow place. We think of when he was in his home, and Saul sent the men to kill him, but his wife helped him escape and set up a dummy in the bed to trick them. So there he was trapped, but the Lord had saved him in the wilderness. Many times Saul was coming very close to him. There's one time that he was on one side of the mountain, and Saul was on the other side of the mountain. So they just missed each other. We say, well, lucky. No, it was the Lord looking. The Lord had done that. So thou hast enlarged. This expresses relief afforded in opposition to distress, which is expressed by words denoting straits or pressure. So God has given him relief. And what we see here that David looks back on his life, and past favor is a ground of hope for the future. So for me, this says, okay, I'm facing something new in my life. I don't know how to deal with this, but I want to think back and look on the old things that God answered in my life and say, Lord, what did you do for me in the past? And remember, hey, when I was facing pressure or when I had a bad situation, this is what God did for me, or how I saw God move. And examples I came, Lord, I remember that you healed Leroy's leg, his knee, in a prayer meeting. I remember that you took away Noah's hearing complications when he was a baby. I remember, Lord, that a time of loneliness, yet in prayer, seeking, and dedication, you brought Josie into my life. I remember, Lord, that you opened and you closed doors for me to move across the country. I remember, Lord, that in a county in the United States that had one of the highest unemployments at that time, 15 to 20% unemployment in our county, when the national average was high, like 5%, I still had a part-time job delivering pizza in that economy, even though I couldn't find anything better, but I had that, and that sustained me, and it was enough that I could also come across a van. I give God credit for this. Well, I had two deliveries, pizza deliveries one night, and they were across the city block from each other. And at this time, I wanted to move out here, but I had very little money. And somehow, two deliveries came up for me that I was delivering. They were both in the same city block. So I delivered one, and I said, hey, instead of taking the long way around the city block out to the main road, I'll cut through the alley that goes through here. And as I'm cutting through the alley, I see an old work van there for sale in beside the alley. And so I said, hey, that might be, I might be able to use that. And so I wrote down the number and called the guy, and he said, yeah, I'll sell it to you. I was just filling it up with junk, getting ready to take it to the junkyard. And but yeah, you're welcome to buy it, $400. So I feel that that was the Lord that had opened that door for me to do that. I didn't have the money to rent a moving van, take it across country, but $400, and I could pile all my stuff in there. 7 cylinders out of 8. It's good enough. But that's the Lord's provision. Maybe it wasn't a limo, but he did that for me. And even more recently, I have an opportunity to work in a type of work that I absolutely love. Just in past years, it's been 3 times that I've been spared from layoffs. And this also happened about 4 or 5 years ago, that I was a contractor at the time when they laid off the regular employees, and they didn't touch the contractors at that time. But they had laid 3 out of 4 members of our team that were regular employees and let them go, but they kept us contractors. Now, this time I had come on as an Intel employee, and last fall they cut all the contractors. So I praise God for that. These are things in my life that I look back and say, God, you've done this for me in the past. What I'm facing now, Lord, I trust that you can take care of what I'm facing now. The question for you and for all of us, what do you have in your life? What can you look back and say, hey, God did this for me? God's past favor is the faith fuel to move us forward. I'll stop there. It's very close to 8. You guys have any thoughts or anything you would like to share?
Well, I was thinking about in the beginning of Psalm 3, where he said there were 10,000 after him, and there were many continually, there were more. Well, Absalom had just manipulated himself into the hearts of the people of right. Israel through his wheeling and dealing. And so, really, there were 10,000 people or more that had sided with Absalom. Certainly enough to make David afraid to flee, fled with 600 people. But then along the way, there were, you know, people that joined in criticizing him, like Shimei, you know. So as he was already low, they were just, you know,
keeping it on.
Yeah, they're keeping it on, and there's more and more that are against me, you know. I mean, there were some acts of kindness. People brought him some food, and Mephibosheth, he, you know, gave David some provisions, and some other people gave David and his some provisions. But, you know, just as you flee, and then to have other people attack you. But Shimei got a dividend, though.
Yeah.
David told Shimei, I won't harm you. But then after he passed the throne on to Solomon, he said, remember what Shimei did and take care of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a mob move. I don't know, my mind goes weird places. When I
look at that kind of stuff, it's kind of like the mob. Yeah.
Take care of it,
Solomon. Well, so, that was the increase
of people who were against
it. Yeah. Anyone else? All right, we'll end there, and if you can all help me pray, let's pray to be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for a chance to remember what you've done for us and how you speak to us. Let your word grow in us, God. We want to have it to be a tree of life in us, Lord. It's our only salvation, and we pray that we can grow in your word and produce fruit, Lord, that it will be acceptable to you and acceptable in your sight. Help us to add to your kingdom. We pray your blessings and favor as we leave this place. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.